Hello, I'm Harry Karanja, the lawyer.
And I'm Kashao Patrick, the layman. And this is Swala Nyeti, the Kenyan legal podcast that pairs a layman and a lawyer to answer your legal questions.
Welcome to Swala Nyeti. Hi, Kashao.
Hi, Wakili. Now, do you know the advantage of driving and doozy, riding and doozy?
You get through traffic quickly.
Yeah, and also it consumes 1 liter of fuel for every 70 kilometers.
70 kilometers. My goodness. We should all be doozy people.
When I look at the billboard for the cost of fuel, you're happy it consumes 1 liter.
I can imagine.
So, yeah, let's see how it goes. Now, we have a very interesting case. Have you ever heard of Kanya Kanya, Wakili?
Kanya Kanya?
Yeah. Not Kanya Kanya, Kanya Kanya.
You better go ahead and tell me.
Let me read for you this case. I have been suffering for the past 6 months from a flood of promotional messages on my Safaricom line from what I think is a vernacular radio station. I have never signed up for these messages and do not listen to that station. I have no idea where they got my number from. Most of the messages ask me to join one promotion or the other and send money via paybill. Every time I get such a message, I block it as spam and sometimes use the code *456# to try and prevent more messages. However, not all the messages give away in how to stop the messages, so sometimes I just rely on my Truecaller app to block the messages. However, despite doing this, I keep getting messages. It seems they just change the short code and continue sending messages. I have asked Safaricom for help to identify the person or company sending the messages, but they have been uncooperative and instead told me I have to pay for that information. I now wish to exact the maximum punishment to whoever is facilitating this spam. How can I do it?
Wow, that last sentence, it seems that this person is very frustrated
So Kanya Kanya is this promotions on vernacular radio stations where you Kanya Kanya is to don like to the, what do you call when a bird is eating like you throw grain.
It's pecking.
Kanya Kanya is pecking your phone so you keep pecking.
Yes,
so the promotion is cost like 10 bob an SMS.
Yes,
you keep sending one, maybe a word or your name or a number as a particular code there. Like for every 1 hour and there's a winner at the top of the hour.
Yes.
So in the village, that is very, in this vernacular radio stations, that can be the order of the day.
I see.
So every top of the hour, they announce now the winner for this 5,000, the winner for this. So it's very tempting. So people are always
kanya-kanya-ing. Yes.
I can imagine how many messages she gets.
Wow. Whoever this person is. Okay. So I can see where the frustration is arising from. And the way I understand it, the customer has been receiving unsolicited messages, which are promotional in nature, from a radio station. They've tried to block them using Truecaller, but the messages have not stopped.
And the code.
But the person doesn't seem to be aware how this radio station got their number. And Safaricom has refused to disclose the identity of the person who is sending the messages. Now, this customer wants to punish.
They want the person in committee.
They want to punish this person. So let's see what... I mean, what do you think? Is this Kanya Kanya worth punishment?
I'm telling you, these things can flood your... Yeah. Especially when you go to the village.
Yes.
And or when you go see your folks and you just check how many things they are subscribed into on that service on Safaricom.
Yes.
Things that take money.
Yeah.
Maybe a shilling every day or...
Yeah.
It's amazing how many they got into these things without even knowing.
I see.
So that's so why I don't like it, because they take a lot of airtime from these people.
Yes.
But this is a cybercrime. I'm telling you.
That
is too far. But you know, how can you be taking money from a person that doesn't even know that they subscribe to a service?
Let's look at it and see what legal questions come up. I think there is, you know, there are serious questions, especially because the targeted group seems somewhat vulnerable.
Yes.
The first thing I think we need to see is if this person is a Safaricom subscriber, if this Safaricom had a right to share their number with their radio station.
Yeah.
I don't know where else they could have gotten it from. And of course, even if they had the number, are they allowed to send unsolicited promotional messages?
Especially, what if you don't even speak the language? They keep sending these SMSs to.
Yeah, it says it's a vernacular station, so it might be Russian for the person, as you know.
Yeah. so annoying.
Yeah, and then of course this person has requested who is the owner of these messages and whether or not Safaricom can prevent, you know, avoid telling them that. Of course, if there are any remedies that the person can pursue, he calls them punishment, but
everyone wants to commit the person in the maximum prison.
Yeah. I'll call it remedies. You know, in law we look for remedies, not punishment. We're not trying to punish anyone.
Just to clarify something, these messages are coming from a short, not a number, not from a 070 or anything.
Yes.
It's just like 448.
It sounds like. And that's probably why we have to see what role, if any, Safaricom would play. Because these numbers, you can't just buy them off the street.
Oh.
You'd have to register
a number that can send the code.
You'd have to register the short code through Safaricom or one of their value-added service providers.
I see how they come in now. Okay.
Yeah. So I think there are constitutional issues here. There are privacy issues, issues on information. And of course, I think we always should start with the Constitution because the Constitution, our current Constitution, gives every person a right to privacy.
Yes.
And of course, having people sending you messages, they could be infringing on your privacy. In addition, there's information which is considered private, like your telephone number.
Yeah.
People's telephone numbers should not be published anyhowly. So again, it should not be violated without a good reason.
Wow.
So this is, I think, where to begin to look at this situation, because if Safaricom, whether or not Safaricom has a right to share the subscriber's information without the express permission of this person is a central to whether, you know, these people should be having the number in the first place. Okay. It's possible Safaricom can say, okay, these are people are agents, okay, of Safaricom. And, you know, like you're saying, the parents in the village might subscribe
unknowingly
to a service. Yeah. Maybe they're subscribed to service A and then they start getting messages from service B.
And they are not even aware of
Usually that's what happens. Mm. And, you know, but I think it would be a hard argument because Safaricom has a duty to tell the customer what the information is being used for. For example, just because you have subscribed to Safaricom's Skiza Tunes whatever, doesn't give them a right to now pass on your number to the
third party who
is producing the Skiza Tunes.
Yes.
So it would be a hard argument to pull off, especially because it might be violating legal provisions on privacy and, you know, how data should be shared. So I think the other thing is, of course, if Safaricom shows you that this is a contract you signed, if it's Safaricom which produced a contract, there's a concept in law called contra preferentum, whereby the preference is given to the person who did not make the contract in interpreting the terms, because the person who made the contract had some interest. So you would want to dilute the interest by giving preference to the person who did not.
That thing means that now I don't need to be reading these terms and conditions.
Do that at your peril. But look, whether or not this number was validly obtained,
yes,
okay, are they allowed to send you unsolicited promotions?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And I would say this is a hard no. Okay, I mean, because you see, first of all, you need to consent
to
receive this information.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you don't consent or you want to opt out, they should not continue sending you this information. And I think that's where this really the key issue is, because this person says
they're spamming them now.
Yes, they've tried to opt out.
And you can't.
Yeah, they just change. It's you know, they change their skin and come back tomorrow as a different short code.
Wow.
So it seems that this person is unable to opt out of the service, and that is not allowed. It's not allowed that you prevent someone from opting out and also from and continue sending them these promotional messages.
That's weird, because, you know, it's funny you say that. Okay, this is a different case. We could do it another day, but I'm surprised at how many people forward things on WhatsApp as well. And that's also spamming in a way.
Yes, and number one, of course, WhatsApp allows you to block that person.
Yeah.
And if you block them, that's it.
Yeah.
It also allows you to report violation of their platform, and they can take up the matter and block that person on their own, even remove them from WhatsApp.
And so this lady or gentleman is feeling that they don't even have that ability with this unsolicited.
Yes, because they've tried to block, it's not working.
Can't block.
They've asked Safaricom. Safaricom has, you know, turned a blind. Blind yeah. ear or blind eye.
Both. They are both deaf and blind.
Yeah, so they have asked for the identity of the person and Safaricom has asked them to pay.
And yeah, is that even is that okay?
Now, they might say that they have, either it will cost them too much.
To look for who is sending it.
Safaricom saying it will cost too much, you know, it's a really difficult argument to make.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, you can say that the terms of the contract between you and Safaricom have been violated.
Yeah.
So I think it's a hard argument to make. And, of course, they are asking you to pay for it, okay, which is an obstacle to obtaining the information.
Yeah.
You know, you have to look at it, how many other messages would Safaricom send you in a day? You know, the cost of a message to them.
Is negligible.
Is minuscule.
Yeah.
The cost of an email is minuscule. And it's, of course, this is information they have in their database. It could, you, and it doesn't seem that you need it for commercial purposes.
Yeah.
You simply need it to verify the identity. So they might make the argument, but you know, all these arguments, when they are evaluated by a neutral third party, can seem very flimsy.
Yeah.
Flimsy. So it's an argument that they would have to be on very thin ground, or they would get on very thin ground once they made it.
Okay.
I think the question, if we now just jump.
Maximum prison.
The remedies that this person can obtain, there are two types of remedies. Mm-hmm. There are administrative remedies, and he can also pursue court-based remedies. So remedies through an administrative process and through the court.
Yeah.
Of course, it's now the case that we have the data commissioner in place. The data laws in Kenya had been in force, but they were lacking a data commissioner.
What does that mean? What does the
you see, it's because there's an administrative body which oversees the issue of data and privacy.
Yeah.
Although the laws were in place, they needed that body to be set up.
Wow.
And that body needed a commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
So now a commissioner has been appointed.
I didn't see the advertisement. I would have applied.
It was last year when they were having the interviews. So I think, okay, I'm not sure you.
I qualify. Are you telling me I cannot read the messages and say no?
I did not say that.
Unsolicited.
Look out for the next opportunity, you know? And you might just, I would be happy to have you as a commissioner. Probably commissioner for podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
So
just to take you back a bit,
mm-hmm.
This is not part of the case, but the messages I received from Safaricom.
Yes.
Are they okay? Did I sign for them?
So this is the thing. You might find that there are messages that you agreed to in terms of sending...
By signing that...
Yes, when you registered.
When I registered the SIM card.
But you can also opt out of things which are marketing or promotional in nature.
Is that possible?
Of course. You should be able to.
There's no. They don't send you a way to opt out.
That's a good question. So
I've never seen it.
I mean, I would say that if it is unsolicited and if you don't want it, you should be able to stop it.
It's okay? Also possible that I only read the first. When I see Safaricom, I'm like, ah.
So they could say that some of those are informational in nature. They are needed for you to continue using your service.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not promotional.
Okay.
So spam is usually promotional. There's something someone is trying to sell you.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what? Now that the data commissioner is in place, penalties for them violating the issues of data privacy and use of personal information are very steep. In fact, they can be charged as much as 5 million shillings per SMS.
Wow.
Yes.
And now that you mentioned, I've also realized that you can get different messages from a single service provider.
Yes.
One in full caps, one with one cap. I find it hilarious because it's the same service provider.
Yeah, so now in this case, someone who is using different short codes, for each of those, not for each of the short codes,
but
for each of the SMSs sent by each of the short codes,
yeah.
there is a maximum penalty which can be applied of 5 million shillings.
So as long as we can say this is the same service provider.
Yeah, so if you've gotten 10, you know, 10 messages,
yeah,
you get 5 million per message, you can get 50 million for that.
And the money goes to the commission or to the person?
No, this is a fine to the service provider. So this is a penalty that the service provider pays.
To
the commission.
To the commission, not yes. to the person being violated.
No. but the person being violated can also approach the court.
And say that money should come from the commission.
No. They can approach the court for infringement of their constitutional right to privacy. Okay. Or they can approach the court for a tort of nuisance. Okay. We've touched a bit on both in previous episodes.
Yeah, we have.
So probably if they want maximum inflictment of maximum punishment, quote unquote, they could do what is known as a mass tort action, which collect all the people who have been suffering in a similar manner.
Form a WhatsApp group.
Start breaching their own privacy.
Let me add you.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
what you mean.
Yeah. So they could do that and they could go to court and, you know, they can look for many things to, they can ask the court for injunctions, they can ask the court for specific performance, specific performance being that Safaricom has to do a certain thing, they could give the number or stop from doing a certain thing. And this is both Safaricom and whoever it is who is doing all these things. But it seems whichever way Safaricom will be involved. And, you know, they can ask for damages. They can ask for general damages. They can ask for damages for their violation of constitutional rights.
Wow.
So those are the things that this person would be looking at.
I find this case very interesting because I watched this thing for Facebook, and the thing also they say that it's not them, it's the third party.
Mm-hmm.
And how this is a smaller scale of that. Is it like a pandemic that Facebook has with privacy? Anyway, thank you very much, Wakili.
Yes, so you're right. Safaricom does play a very important role in communication. And like I said, the options which are available here will depend on whether there was consent or not, mm-hmm. in how the number was obtained, how the information was shared, and also whether they can prove that any constitutional rights have been violated.
There's nothing more for the layman to add. I agree with you. So you have remedies or punishment, as you see it. Thank you very much, Wakili.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Swala Nyeti.
To listen to more episodes or get more information, visit our website, www.swalanyeti.org.
If you have a legal question, you can also send it to us on our website.
Or call us on 0708-111-222 if you need urgent assistance.
Till next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.